I think this is your book here, Pastor. Yeah, this is yours. Here you go. Oh. 524. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the joy of this glorious star. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Amen. Amen. 617. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have built in him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before the judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his being that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Anybody else have a song they want to sing? How about 699? Oftimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur in despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help inside. But there is one in hell who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Amen. Yes. 6-3-2. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Amen. One more and we'll have our offering. Anybody? Pardon me? Right across the page. Amen. 6:31. I'd rather have Jesus. Brother Ramel, thank you, sir. Huh? Oh. Yeah, trying to find it. We can find something else.
No, I have an idea.
Okay.
I can do it, but it's easier here.
Okay. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread swear. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Amen. Brother Romel.
To who? Oh no! Oh no! Where are you going to take her for dinner? Amen. That's a good one. All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. We didn't ask, but is there anyone else here that had a birthday this month? He's not here. Susie's not here. All right. I might have to get an anniversary sermon for next Sunday because our church has an anniversary this month. I've forgotten how old we are. When were we organized? 68? I think so. It's been a while. Those years go by fast, don't they? Amen. And we'll be in prayer for Artie because she lost her sister, the one that's on our prayer list here this afternoon. Be in prayer for that family there. But it's one of those bittersweet moments. It's hard on those of us who are left. Yeah. But what a joy it is to be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Which one of us wouldn't trade places with her? Wonderful. But our prayers are for Artie and the rest of the family. Very traumatic. Let's open our Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 9. I want to talk about bringing people to Jesus. It's the most important work in the world, really. It's a work that every one of us ought to be engaged in, and yet we're not. And I don't know why either. But wouldn't it be wonderful if God could just burden our hearts in such a way that they would be broken over those that are lost, those that are facing eternal damnation? It's hard to think about that, because eternity is bad enough to face without having to attach torment, pain, and suffering to it. That just really expands it, doesn't it? To think that it's going to be eternal. Here in Mark chapter 9, we have the account in the earlier part of the chapter about the time when our Lord Jesus Christ took Peter, James, and John with him, those three. And the four of them went up to the top of a high mountain. I'm going to figure it out someday how many mountains Jesus climbed while he was here. But it seems like every time he wanted to be alone, he went to the top of a high mountain. Now, if you've ever been to the top of a high mountain, you'll understand, and David's been on several of them up there in Colorado. They got some high ones up there. But you just have to be there to appreciate it, because it's a lonesome place in a way. But it's a place that is just about as close to God as you can get on this earth. And a place of solitude, place of splendor. And you can see from tomorrow to yesterday. Beautiful scenery, usually trees, things like that. But Jesus spent a lot of time in the mountains. And here he took Peter, James, and John with him, and they went up to the top of a high mountain. And while they were there, after that climb, they were probably hot and exhausted, and they found the shade of a tree and sat down in it, and I think they dozed off. And directly they opened their eyes and they saw Jesus standing over there talking to a couple of fellas. And the Bible doesn't tell us how they knew who those guys were. It just says that he was with Moses and Elijah. I don't know if Jesus introduced them to him or how they came to know that they were Moses and Elijah. But they were listening to the three of them talk, and they were talking about the crucifixion of Christ that was soon upcoming in Jerusalem. And Jesus was transfigured before them. He was the light, and He is the light of the world. And the glory of God that was in Him began to shine out through His physical body, even through the clothing that He was wearing. And they saw His glory. Anyway, Jesus told them after Moses and Elijah had departed, don't tell anybody when we get back down to the mountain about this, okay? So they didn't. But when they came back down to the bottom of the hill, there were a mass of people down there, and they had all these other disciples over here, and it looked like a very excited moment was happening. And Peter, James, and John, they probably thought these guys had gotten in trouble since they weren't there to kind of control them. And so they went over there, and come to find out, they were really getting on, the crowd was really getting on to these other apostles of Jesus. Because apparently a man had brought his son who was possessed with an evil spirit there, thinking that Jesus was going to be there, I'm sure, and that Jesus would cast this evil spirit out of his son. But Jesus was gone, and he asked these nine disciples of Jesus, can you guys do it? Well, we'll give it a try. And they did, without success. Well, that kind of got the crowd agitated. And about that time, Jesus showed up. So let's go down to verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, as soon as they saw Jesus, Peter, James, and John coming into the midst of them, straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. Now that's not a military salute like this. This just means they said, howdy, where have you been? How are you doing? And such as that. They saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? What are you asking these nine disciples? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, that is, the spirit takes the boy, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnashes with his teeth and pineth away. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He, Jesus, answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? How long do I have to put up with you and your weaknesses, your unbelief? He says, bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he, Jesus, saw him, Straightway the spirit, that's that evil spirit that was in him, tear him, and he fell on the ground. This is right in the presence of Jesus now. And wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And he, Jesus, asked his father, how long is it since this came upon him? And he answered, of a child. He's been this way since he was a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he, the boy, after that evil spirit came out of him, was as one dead. He fell on the ground. He looked like he was unconscious, one dead. Insomuch that many said, he is dead. Verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I want us to go back and concentrate on verse 17, where this father said to Jesus, I have brought unto thee my son. Did you notice that this man's name is not given? He's just one of a multitude. So we don't know his name. We don't know where he lived. We don't know what business he was in. We don't know if he was rich or poor, whether he was a success or a failure. We don't know if he was educated or ignorant and unlearned. We don't know if he had any other children or not, and if they were okay. What we do know about this man certainly does not qualify him to bring someone to Jesus. We don't know enough about him. But one thing that we do know, and let's look at that. He was a man of faith. Faith is believing. He believed in Jesus Christ. He believed that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. Matthew tells us that when this man came to Jesus, that he kneeled before him. Now, kneeling before somebody is a position of worship, is it not? So he is, in a sense, worshiping Jesus, which is fine. So the only time that we see this man, he is on his knees before the Lord. He is engaged in the greatest work that ever occupied a human soul, and that's prayer. He's talking to God. And he's not asking anything for himself, but he's praying for someone else. In this case, his son. Think about this. After this man and his wife had married, God had blessed their home with this little baby boy. But it wasn't very long before they found out that this little baby boy had an affliction. And even as I speak, I cannot but think of my little great-grandson over there in Phoenix, because the doctors have concluded that when little Miles was born, he had that tumor on his kidney in his mother's womb. It didn't show up until a couple of years after he was born, and he's over there now struggling for his life. Now, the suffering of innocent children is so sad. This man's little boy never learned to talk because that spirit that he had was a dumb spirit, Jesus said. That means you can't talk. And Jesus also said that he was a deaf spirit. A year while back, they said about Miles that the medication and all of this that he's gone through, chemo and things like that, has affected his hearing. And it caught him about the time when a little boy would be beginning to say words. But like this man here, he'd never heard his little boy look up at him and say, "Dada." He couldn't hear or speak. And with that evil spirit in him, he would gnash his teeth and foam at the mouth and probably growl like a dog, who knows. He would tear his flesh. He would throw himself into the fire. He would throw himself into the water, couldn't swim. How pathetic. They had to watch him continually. 24/7, day and night. I have an idea that the parents' life became a nightmare. Their joy became a heartache. And this father knew that something beyond the power of human strength must be done for this boy. He needed divine help. Apparently he had heard of Jesus. A lot of people had. They'd heard of his miracle working power. And you can also look at it this way. Perhaps if it had not been for his little boy's affliction, this daddy would never have come to Christ. So God allowed this little boy to suffer in order to bring his father to Jesus. There's no doubt it was his desire to help this boy that brought him here to Christ. So the bottom line is this: whatever it takes, in the long run, isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it? Let me say this. The responsibilities of fatherhood should be sufficiently compelling to bring every Christless father to the foot of the cross. Your child is safe only when he's made safe by Jesus. And if he's saved, he needs the help of a father who himself knows the Lord. He was a man of faith. He believed Jesus could do it. That's the reason he brought him to Christ. And then we find out also that he was a man of love and compassion. I know that mothers usually get the credit for the loving that's done in the family. And I agree that she deserves all the credit that she gets. But the mother isn't the only one who loves. Sometimes daddies love too. He may not be as open with his affection. He may not be so gentle and so tender as the mother. We usually grow up thinking that feminine is soft and tender and yielding and submissive, and masculine is tough and macho, you know, take charge type. So quite often a man may seem to come up short and lacking in that department of understanding and sympathy, but still he suffers his failures and his defeats. He has feelings too. He can hurt. And I see this man as he comes there and falls at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that the tears are running down his face. His compassion has broken his heart before Christ. And he says, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son." I remember back when I was a young boy, and that's a memory, a long time ago. Back in the early 30s, the early days of the Great Depression, my daddy's firstborn son got double pneumonia. I don't know how long I was sick, but I was sick for a long time, and they did not know whether I would live or die. That was back before my daddy was saved. But I'll never forget one of the few times that I saw my dad shed tears. That's when he knelt by my bedside and caressed my fevered brow when I was sick. I have the memory yet in my heart and in my mind of that time. Those were hard days. My dad would take pieces of leather, wire them onto the bottom of his shoe. He did that so that we boys could dress decently and go to school. And when he died, those calloused hands that had toiled for his family for such a long time were folded on his bosom. I remember seeing those hands calloused, He was firm and yet he was tender. He was strong and he was compassionate. Thank God I witnessed a father's love. This man loved his son. He was also a man who had good sense. When he realized that his son was in need of help, he didn't send him out to search for Jesus by himself. He didn't look at him as he was wallowing there in pain in the floor, foaming at the mouth and tearing himself and such as that, and look at him and say, "Hey boy, you ought to go see Jesus." Instead of that, he took him. He didn't drop him off on Sunday morning at church, let him go in for Sunday school and then drive back home. He didn't send him to Jesus by his wife or by some friend. He said to Jesus, "I have brought him unto thee." That's where so many fail. They delegate the responsibility to someone else. He could have said, "Mama, you ought to take this boy to Jesus." He didn't call a friend or a neighbor and say to them, "Take this boy to Jesus." He didn't go to the pastor of the church or to his Sunday school teacher or the school teacher in the school. And neither did he just leave it up to chance. Well, maybe he'll grow out of it. So many boys are still lost because of attitudes like that. I remember King David did that once. He had a son by the name of Absalom. Old Absalom rose up against his daddy, and he wanted to take the kingdom away from his dad and started a rebellion. His daddy didn't want to fight him. So he moved out. And old Absalom gathered a bunch of people together and went after him. He's going to kill his own daddy. David got all of his men together and he told them, he says, "Deal gently with the young man." But in so doing, he entrusted the son's safety to the care of someone other than himself. Then one day, a runner came to him with the sad news, "Absalom is dead." And this broken-hearted father remembered his blunder. He viewed his son's body that old Joab had used as a dartboard, and he thrust 3 darts through Absalom's heart while he was hanging in that oak tree by the hair of his head. And David had told his people, he said, "Beware that none touch the young man." And Joab killed him. And then 10 men who were with Joab also smote him, the Bible says. And then they took his body down out of that oak tree and they threw it into a great pit in the woods, and then throwed rocks on top of it and covered it over. Read about it in 2 Samuel 18 sometime. But this error is committed from generation to generation. I know the pressures are great today. I know that it's easy to put our responsibilities in the hands of others. I know what it's like out there in the world. It takes both husband and wife working to make ends meet, to buy food and to pay rent and things like that. It's very hard. And so they have to put the responsibility of raising their children, turn it over to someone else. Babysitters, nursery schools, teachers. You sit here and watch TV till I get back. Don't change the channels. There's a Christian father that said one time, he says, I make a good living. I clothe and feed my children. But I'm hardly acquainted with them. He says, I leave for work before they get up of a morning. And I often come home at night after they're asleep. That's a very common thing in our society today. And I know whereof I speak because I was one of those fathers. The children need parental training. They need family prayers. They need companionship. Jesus is standing there. His boy is rolling around on the ground, foaming at the mouth. That father's kneeling in the presence of Jesus, saying, Master, I have brought unto thee my son. He brought him while he was still in the home. If you wait until he grows up and moves out, you've already lost him. I mentioned this to the preacher this morning because Brother Patton has three little boys. And it came back to my mind. My son had been sitting over here on this side after I'd preached one of my brilliant messages, you know. I guess I said something that stirred his little heart up. And he came up to me after the service. I'll never forget this. Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be a preacher like you are. You can imagine how that makes a person feel. He grew up, but he didn't become the preacher that he had wanted to be. Graduated from high school, left home, left the state. And in a dozen years, I may see him half a dozen times. And by the way, daughters need to be brought to Jesus too. But what's the outcome? What was the result of this man's effort to bring his little boy to Jesus? He saved his son. Can you imagine seeing him when he grows up to be a young man? Strong, clean-cut, God-fearing young man. Ask him his secret. He'll say to you, when I was young, I was under some evil spell. The doctors couldn't help me. In fact, no one could. But my daddy brought me to Jesus. through that experience, that father himself came to a better understanding of Jesus. He gained a deeper appreciation for the Lord. He would tell you that it was worth it. That was the most profitable investment that he ever made in his whole life. Master, I have brought unto thee my son. No price is too great to pay for bringing men, women, and boys and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Bringing people to Jesus. If you see somebody that is lost, is not a Christian, you know where to take them. Don't say, go to church with me. Take them to Jesus. Jesus will be with us in church, but he's also with you when you're walking the streets and talking to someone about their soul. Let's stand together, be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we would pray tonight that your Holy Spirit that you gave us when we accepted Jesus as our personal Savior, that Holy Spirit would deal with our spirit and give us a burden, a personal burden for people who are lost that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, when we go out talking to people about Christ, I know we get the feeling that it's up to us, but it's not. All we are is just the messenger. We bring them the message. Jesus is the one that does the saving, and it's the Holy Spirit through the Word of God that brings conviction on the unsaved hearts that cause them to realize that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Work a miracle, Lord, in our hearts. Make us soul winners. Give us a burden for those that need Christ, like this man's little boy needed Jesus, so that we can say, Jesus, I'm bringing so-and-so to you. Save them. I can't save them, but you can. It was your blood that was shed. It's your grace. Save this person. And give us the burden, the compassion, the love, the caring, as well as the faith to believe that you can do all things, that nothing is impossible with you. Bless this congregation tonight. Let the Word of God sink down deep into their soul. And let these words echo through our minds. Master, I have brought unto thee my son, or my daughter, or my wife, or my brother, or sister, father, or mother, my best friend, whoever it may be. And Lord Jesus, to you will be all the honor and glory, for we ask it in your precious name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Roger, 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 I got something.